This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
What up, people? It's a Trim Healthy Podcast. You know who we are. But just in case you're new here, with Serene, Pearl, and I'm Danny V. We're so pumped you tuned in. We're grateful for it, people.
His rep name.
I know. You know, it's like if you're driving on the highway on the way to your, like, a trip into town, you'll see a billboard. It'll be like, you know, check out the AM rock station with Danny V.
Danny V.
It's like
your boy Danny V.
Danny V.
It's radio. It's old world radio, Dan.
All right. Yeah. Well, maybe I'm old world radio Dan. Maybe that's the name of my show.
Yeah. And who do we have here?
Oh, and with us today is my sweet daughter, Ansley, who, you know, when my boys come to the podcast, they have to come.
Right.
When my girls come, they get to.
That's right. The way it goes. That's Daddy's just the girls.
Way we roll. Way
Love
we
it.
Roll. How Love are my it. How are my favorite Australian Americans?
Well, we're half New Zealand too. So
we're half Mexican now.
That's true. We are freshly
back. How can we be half of all those things? Just let us know. Let's tell you
we're
the math
larger
work.
Than life, Serene.
Yeah, yeah. This is quantum.
Yeah, I know, right?
Quantum halves.
Yes, we are. We're double.
So, Mehi.
So, yes. Yeah, so, last week, even though there was a podcast, it was pre-recorded. We went to Mexico, and really, that's what this whole podcast is going to be about, the trip, because there is a lesson to be learned.
And listen, if you think, why do we get to talk about our vacays and what's so special about that?
I know.
Who are we, like narcissist freaks? Sorry, turn it off if it's boring to you, but we're going to talk about
it. No, because now it's a habit. If we go on a vacay, we have to talk about it when
and
we come
back.
And
your family, if you like it or not, sorry, your family, and you get to hear all of our stories.
Hey, Pearl, John ran the numbers before the show,
right.
And we actually have data back that you are physically more Mexican than me.
Well, I probably spent more time there than you, Dan, because you, no, I mean, almost. You were three when you came to the mainland, right?
Yeah.
Are we lad of three?
Sort of. I mean, I lived in Mexico when I was three. I was born in Memphis, but then we moved like within a year.
Yeah, no, that doesn't count. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter because the seed that bore you was Mexican.
Yeah, and my first memory.
True. And your dad is fully Mexican.
I actually have a first memory.
Yeah.
It was a black and white checkered floor. I was laying on a table. Just don't picture this now. Picture a baby version of this. My ankles over forehead, getting my diaper changed.
Okay. In Mexico.
Yeah, baby
in
version.
Mexico.
Were there flies?
You know, I don't remember that. It was just a checkered floor.
Corn on the table behind.
Grandmother hand making tortillas.
Yeah.
See, look, listen. That's why he will always be more Mexican than you. You can't say tortillas.
I can't say tortillas.
But let me tell you
just
something.
Yeah, you can say the yeah.
Listen,
phrase.
My daughter, one of my adopted daughters from Africa, she came as a baby and I got to nurse her. So you think that, you know, what's African about
she
her
got your milk
beautiful color, right?
In her body.
Right. But guess what? When she was screaming like bloody murder in the car because she didn't want to be in the car seat, we'd be like, oh, turn the radio on, try and find some classical music to soothe her. No, it didn't. As soon as the beat came on, like anything with an African kind of like, I don't care, even if it's
rhythm.
Just American African, rap, anything. She calmed down, she dug it.
Yeah.
And, you know, she loved the hot boiling food.
Yes.
So it didn't matter that my milk had no spice in it. It's the fact that the grandmothers 10 generations before that had the spice.
Have knit her brain
so
to,
let me not try to be Mexican, Danny, when you're in the room with your ancestral roots of the Mexico.
But you probably know more. I mean,
I know recent. So let me tell the story.
The true starch of life, Pearl.
Yeah.
The maze. The matrix of his body was like preformed generations ago.
Dan, you should be eating
maize
and
Mexico.
Corn products.
Maize?
You should be eating the whole grain corn products. Your body would probably thrive on them because of your DNA.
No, that's fair. I should get into my DNA food choices.
And the rice.
Can I turn the air off?
Hmm.
It's blowing hot air and giving wrinkles
you know,
to my face.
I am happiest when I'm eating Mexican food.
Yes.
I mean, is that the world though? And I don't mean American with queso all over it. I'm talking about
authentic.
Proper corn tortilla.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We ate of the corn.
But can I...
Go for it,
Can
Pearl.
I be... the boss of this particular party.
You're allowed to be the boss of all the parties. Yeah,
because sometimes you sit here and you're the boss with your prompter until touch time as you invite us in.
Yeah, until we're allowed to speak.
Yeah. And I'll soon open it up to you and Dan Pearl. Yeah. But
once the pastor is finished, then the congregation.
No, I just want to say for all of you, dear listeners, as you tune in today and just are thinking in your head, get on with it. Do you bring me any meat? Is there a method behind this madness? There actually is. But we're going to tell stories. And Serena, I'll invite you to join in sometime.
Good on you, Mexican.
And Denny,
you're allowed.
If I ever want a Mexican joke or tell me how to explain something, I'll invite you in.
Okay,
basically,
Latina
she's
Pearl.
Saying all of us have to shut up. And
no,
she's
no,
got
no, really.
Show.
I just want to set the tone for this. So, you know, we love going to Mexico. As I've said on this podcast so many times, my husband and I have brought timeshares in unwise ways because if we sit down for one of those sales things, it's happening. That's why I can't go to them anymore.
No, Shereen, in fact, last time we were in Mexico. Am I allowed to just put
Yeah,
in
you can
thought?
Bring this.
Thank you, big sis. Last time we went to Mexico together, Pearl and Charlie forced my husband and I to sit through the timeshare so we could get the free catamaran ride across the waters to the island, thinking they wanted the free trip, but they didn't want to sign up for another timeshare. They knew they would if they sat through. So we sat through like 8 hours of absolute exhaustive, like they were selling their souls to us.
Oh,
right?
They do. They sell.
And you feel so bad, but you know, we just said no at the end.
So we've brought timeshares in Mexico, multiple ones, because you feel for these people. I mean, they're giving it their all.
It could have been the ancestors. Of Danny.
Danny, you sat here today and tried to sell me a timeshare in Mexico to you. I'm buying it off you. I cannot be trusted. Somehow we'll get mortgages. I don't know what it is, but I can't be trusted. So
yeah, they'll sell off their children's cars.
So these days, Charlie just says no, because whenever you go back, if you've got timeshares there, you've got points, right? Every time you go, they make you sit through it again. Well, they high pressure you to do so. So his thing is no, Pearl is not allowed. We will do anything. I can't do it. Okay, so
like you're not allowed to attend.
I'm not allowed to attend because I will say, yes, I want what you were selling me so badly. I want it.
You like lose your power and like look down, like embarrassed at the ground and just sign the document.
The sweet thing. She doesn't even want what they're offering. She just wants them to be able to ring the bell.
I want to bless them.
You know they ring the bell when they sell another timeshare?
I feel just, Anyway, so we've got a lot of points, right? So we decided 5 years ago it was, right? We went with my other sister, Vange and Howard and Serena and Sam. We went to Mexico then.
It's a three sisters trip and the men can come.
Yeah. People said, why don't you call it a couples trip, Pearl? I'm like, that's not what it is. It's a three sisters trip. And her husband's come. No, but it was great. So we decided to do that. And I'm like, we've got points. We can get everyone there for free. And so then we also brought my cousin Melissa and her husband, Cal, who's worked for us here at Trim Healthy Mama for years.
He's like integral.
Yeah. So it was a family couples trip, if you want to call it that. All for free. Okay. And we had points. I don't know how you got there, Serene, but it was a free trip for us apart from buying some food.
Well, because we had points for our airlines.
Yeah,
we went first class on points.
I know, so did we.
$300 there and back for both couples. Firsties.
So we were thinking, oh man, this is great. Points. We got there. It's in Mazatlan where we have this timeshare. And Danny, I don't know if your three-year-old self ever visited Mazatlan.
I did actually, but I don't remember Mazatlan.
Yeah, Mazatlan.
It's Mazatlan, yeah. My dad talks about it all the time. Like when we think of Mexico tropical beauty, like I've asked him, like, where's the beautiful beach in Mexico? He says every time Mazatlan.
Well, we've been to quite a few places in Mexico now. We love Mazatlan just because it's so authentic. Yes, there's a tourist area, but just there's the old town.
I
historic.
Accidentally got there.
Yes, Serene accidentally. That's another story. They went one night early, and they decided to stay a night early by themselves without the rest of us couples.
Does it feel safe?
Yes, no, that's what I'm saying. But she stayed in the tourist area where they were trying to feed her hot dogs and chicken nuggets.
Yes, and I had to get a little band around my arm that said I could go back and back and back for those chicken nuggets. And then we got stuck in a tuba contest of like 20 tuba bands, like screaming tubas out of our window till like 4 in the morning.
That sounds
and then
amazing.
I arrived the next day and Serene and Sam were looking at us like, you told us Mazatlan was great. I mean, what? Okay, we'll have good attitudes, but this is not what we thought, you know. So, but anyway, our timeshare was nice. It was out of all of that real chaotic tourist stuff. And Mazatlan is just such a family-friendly place. And it's so authentic, right, Serene?
Oh.
It's authentic Mexico. It's not just tourism. It's just the real thing.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's like real real Mexicans.
I've been afraid to go to Mexico.
Oh no,
because this of the real Mexicans.
No, because this place is now only run by one cartel, so yeah. There's peace.
If you run gotcha. By two cartels, you'll have issues. But if one cartel's paid everyone off,
they love the tourists, right? Because we bring money.
Well,
to
my
their
dad
cartel.
Is from two cartel land. Okay, so I've got so bad vibes in my head.
Yeah.
Every time I hear about going to Mexico, I'm like Pearl. Like I'm immediately thinking about safety.
I felt like all my organs, kidneys, and livers and hearts
intact.
Were all safe.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it was good. But you know, when Charlie and I go, we always have a very quiet, very relaxed time. But whenever we take, you know, Vange anywhere, my sister Vange, those of you know her, there's just going to be action the whole time. And then Serena and Sam like a good bit of action. They're in between. But it was like full on go the whole time. We had the most blast. Like we were on ATVs, we're on zip lines.
No, we weren't just on ATVs. Sorry, I have to share this. We were on ATVs on deserted beaches seeing whales from
yeah,
the shore.
That's
and we were all screaming down ATVs like racing on the sand.
Wow. Screaming out.
Every
what
night
is life?
We yeah. dined on every day we dined. We need to talk about the food, Serene. Because this is part
it was
of the
food
story.
Trip.
It was food trip Mexico lifetime.
Tell us about the food.
See, that's why we want to.
Did you have fish?
We didn't have enough time.
Fish,
I mean, it was enough time to be away from family. That was sad, but we didn't have enough time because we didn't eat everything we wanted to eat.
And yeah, so this was Serene. I do want to say this about Serene. We're going everywhere, but this is the way we tell a story. This was Serene's first ever trip without a child or a baby, with no, just her and Sam.
Whoa.
So every day, this was like Serene's proper honeymoon. She never
we
got
pregnant,
a proper
one. Like on our honeymoon, which was one night honeymoon, and I went back to touring on a band yeah. at a. You know, the band
oh,
with Pearl
right.
the next day.
So she's never had yeah. a honeymoon. So you should have seen Serene's outfits. Usually she's a minimalist, right? And she barely takes a sock. You know, has to wash underwears every night. Every day she came out with these romantic dresses.
Yeah.
Beautiful hats she wore. When we go out to dinner every night, she'd be in a new dress. She wore high heels one night. She wore like a mini skirt.
Whoa,
she
that
wore
is.
Stockings. Every time we'd see Serene, I was like, what? I'm going to go change. I feel like a frump.
Like a
because she was bringing it.
And I was missing my baby so badly, but I'm like, if I'm going to be away, I'm going to work this thing.
She worked her outfits, man. You should have seen her.
Do you
makeup
have pictures?
On. Like, not overly done, but yeah, I've got some pictures. Just beautiful. Every time she looked at Sam, she had this look in her eyes. And they'd go back to their room.
And eat yeah, more
eat,
tacos.
Eat more tacos. So I think that was so. It was a great trip in many ways, and but the food, man.
We were ziplining through mountainous yeah. cactus regions, and then one of the fun thing was, which was sad actually though, was Pearl and I, we and Vange, and yeah, actually Melissa, our cousin, got a name, but we didn't get names, but all of our men got names,
yeah,
and that
names.
Was super super fun. And Pearl's husband was named Snake because. Because
well, that's a long story. We yeah. start out with these long Mexican. Are we going to go into this detail? This details of the names because it's funny to us, but maybe
yeah,
to our listeners,
it may not be funny to them. And Danny's like talking with John, and it's
throwing
like,
us off.
Yeah, throwing us off.
Let's not go into the nicknames because we find that would be narcissist. We find it
that
funny, and
so
I'm not sure our listeners will.
That is so narcissist.
But if you like write in and say, "Dear Serene and Pearl, would you please share your nicknames?" We will.
Wait, your nicknames for what?
No, it was just the guys had these hilarious nicknames. It was just so funny. They weren't their real names the whole way through.
But we
and it
called
was just,
them the whole time.
Well, let me just say one of them. Okay, so her husband, he tips everywhere. He tips. He's like, he's the biggest tipper in the world. Even in America, he's a freaking tipper, right?
He to came through hard times.
It's his love language.
And I love this.
And
I don't have
to. He knows what it means
so,
to grind.
So Carlos was his, you know, he's Charlie, but...
Carlos de Tipicharo.
Yeah, Carlos de Tipicharo. Okay.
But then,
no, but Carlos de Tipicharo. Oh, I can't say it Mexican.
Can you say it?
De Tipicharo.
Okay, yeah, there de you Tipicharo, go. It's in your blood. But then we went to this tequila factory, and my sister Vange and Howard, they're like total teetotalers. They don't even believe in
yeah.
alcohol. But anyway, they had to walk through this tequila
but
factory.
But we would take you know, taste testing yeah. tequila because it's the authentic drink of Mexico.
But there was
that's
this
right.
huge
that's right.
rattlesnake.
Oh, but tell the we were taste testing while yeah. my husband was, and yeah. you know, I had a little bit of the tequilas, all the regular ones, right? But then there was this huge. Go on, Serene.
No, there was this huge rattlesnake in this small jar, like more snake than jar.
Oh, I can't take it.
Huge.
It wasn't
like
for the tourists, Danny. It was
like,
for the locals.
Like embalmed, like the skin of it looked like it had been soaking it in 1,000 years, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they said the alcohol pulls all of the snake out of the snake, you know? Mm. Like, so basically there's only snake left in the liquid. You know, so you know if you're putting alcohol and herbs, you'll make your tincture and all the goodness of the herbs will come out. Well, Charlie's like asking, can I have a taste?
He said, yeah, he said, can
I told
taste
my husband,
that?
If you ever taste it, I shan't kiss
the
you
guy
for the
guy laughed.
Rest of
he
my
said,
life.
No, that's only for locals. And Charlie said, well, I'd like to taste it. And so
he sniffed it first and it totally smelt like snake.
I sniffed it. It's this, okay, snake gone dead. Times 1,000.
But he was having a lot of headaches before this. Like, you know, just, I don't know, usually likes a quiet trip and he's here with the Pearl's Crazy Sisters. And we were like, you know, just, it was a bit of a rough muck of a group for him. So he was having headaches. Well, he took this shot like straight down the hatch. Mm. He felt fantastic. We called him Snake from then on out. Oh, no, it went like Carlos
did Venom. Charo did Venom.
Did Chipacharo. But then it was just Snake. He was Snake for the rest of the trip.
Can we call him Snake for the rest of his life?
Yes.
That would be his cowboy honor, wouldn't
it? He would love it.
He would love it.
And he tells me.
And he was a different personality ever since.
He tells me now that we're back in Tennessee. I'm like, you feeling okay? Like maybe he's just not feeling good for a couple of minutes. He's like, yeah, I just need to drink the Venom again.
Does he refer to himself in third person now? Like Snake is fine. Snake will go to the bathroom now. Snake is hungry.
Anyway, all this to say, we're getting to a point
done.
Here.
We're not going
to
say them all. That was
we're getting to a point. Can we talk about food? Then I'm going to get to my
point. We missed it.
The starch of life? We really got into the carbs over there.
The good ones,
carbs.
Yeah, but we found these great the restaurants ones. Where actually I was missing oatmeal because we were doing like corn tortillas with the ranchos and the eggs and the
avocado.
Oh, so
fresh
good.
Fresh queso.
And then we found this cafe where they did the best oatmeal in the world.
Yes.
And then every night we'd go to the old town and they had in these Spanish old houses because there was a big mining. Silver mine there hundreds of years ago. And so all these old houses, now they're just restaurants and they just do food and food art and healthy food.
Oh,
and just
amazing.
Oh, we'd get like fresh snapper and we'd get salmon or the guys would get like steak and then we'd have all these cactus sides of like sautéed cactus. And oh my goodness, it's amazing.
You can't listen to this podcast and not be hungry.
It was food from the earth, Dan.
Oh, everything I want to eat was just it so right now. Just the salmons and the anchos.
Anchos.
And the chilies.
Whatever. Yeah.
Anchos are special peppers, bro.
Yes.
If you were a Mexican, you'd know.
No. Anyway, so we got to the last day before we left and we're all sort of sad. Like it was just an epic trip. You know?
It was more than epic. Yeah.
And
what I loved about it too was the walking, constant walking, constant walking, constant walking. And I've tried to keep it up since coming home.
It's harder.
Like I walk, but it's more for just exercise. But now I just want to walk as a way of life. And we came back to winter, like freezing wonderland. And my husband is starting to, and I are starting to walk after meals, like to come visit you guys. We came to visit you last night.
It was so fun. Yeah. You did that. You were like, oh, yeah, it's 5 degrees out. But
everybody walks over there. Yeah. That's why I think that America on a whole is less fit because walking's not a way of life. In Europe, it's a way of life.
No,
even in New Zealand and Australia, it's a way of life.
And I think that's a huge thing. We walked. We put in 15 miles a day.
Easy.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot more than you put in.
No, I'm telling you.
Dan, we were 15 serious.
15 miles?
We got up early
to
do that.
No, maybe it wasn't 15 miles, but a lot of days, what's 20,000 steps in?
Sometimes
we would walk
miles.
About 20,000 to 30,000 steps
just to get to breakfast. We're walking an hour and a half.
Oh, so when you got to breakfast, you were good and hungry.
Oh, man, we were.
Like ready to eat it all.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that sounds so good. What was your favorite? I want to hear several favorites, but I would love to hear like... For starters, what was your favorite food? What was your favorite meal you had there? Like the most memorable?
Go, Serene.
Well, we went to this beautiful gourmet restaurant. So it wasn't like just a fast food version of a tamale. But I am a sucker for tamales. I like a steamed maize kind of taste. And I won't eat the GMO and I won't eat all the whatever. But I dream of like a all like healthy tamale. And I'm sure it was a full crossover, but I had in this fine restaurant a tamale steamed in a big banana leaf, like a big green banana leaf. And it had grass-fed beef tips done in the beef stock on top. Oh, my goodness. Paired with a nice, what's that wine that I learned to love over there?
It was a Malbec.
Malbec.
Yeah.
Oh, divine. That was my favorite meal.
Wow.
I love to get – I think I love that meal. It might have been at the same place, that fresh snapper. We saw the snapper you know, on the beach that day, walked past it, and they kept like hosing it down and making it so fresh. And that night I had it in a restaurant. Oh. Just incredible. Avocado on the side. I mean, you can't get fresher, and you can't get anything like limes and papaya that taste as good anywhere else than just in
mango,
Mexico.
You must have remembered this. Maybe even like going back to visit your daddy's.
Daddy's.
Well, I was in El Salvador when I was like 20.
Yeah.
And okay, the mangoes, you could pick them
with
like
the
driving
lime
down the road.
And the salt and
the tagine.
Oh,
they
yeah.
had mangoes with tagine on at the beach for sale everywhere.
You did?
And yes. young coconuts.
Drink
it, go and get some.
Dude, so yum.
So you
and then she said she tried it here and it's just not the same.
No, because there was no sun and surf and beauty. It was
And isn't that interesting how you're craving or taste buds, if you will, change depending on your environment.
Yeah. And listen, we want to tell a little tip too. I mean, we've got so many good old Baptists listening, but we've got all sorts too. So little tip that you taught Sam,
and
you know, for people with blood sugar issues.
Oh, okay, yes. Yeah. So, we've got teetotalers, but a lot of our ladies aren't teetotalers, you know, and I think
Jesus
everyone loves one another.
Some fermented
good old
beverage.
Jesus
good old
drank fermented
Jesus.
beverage. I've never that
no, you know, it's
life.
Actually worse.
I've never heard that in my life.
You have heard it.
I know, but the way you put it, good old Jesus drank fermented beverage.
Fermented beverage? That should go on a t-shirt. For like a bartender? Like
I
he
feel
wears
really
that shirt.
Godly when I have a good sip.
Yeah.
Now listen, no, because when I went to Israel, no one's drunk. But even from young age, they do the... You know, they do the
oh, that's the same. When I was in Italy, we took, you know, we'd go to the wine places and stuff, and they'd be trying to pour wine for Autumn, who was just 14 at the time. I'm like, no, she's 14. They're like, the children like this one.
Yeah,
this one.
That's
they're
right.
Like, they couldn't understand. That's what they do. They have a little bit, and then none of them become drunkards.
Yeah, my dad told me if you could reach the counter to pay for alcohol, you could buy alcohol. You could drink in Mexico.
Right, yeah.
You just got to be tall enough to pay.
Yeah. But all that to say,
oh, yes, the tip.
Oh yeah, the tip was. So I introduced this to Sam, Serene's husband, because you know sometimes he could have little blood sugar issues, and that the most kind alcohol really to your blood sugar, even more than a dry wine, is tequila. It's not just that it's not bad on your blood sugar. It's actually good. It actually has health benefits. I'm not telling someone to drink if you're not drinking. You don't need to go drink. You don't have to drink. But if you want to, tequila with just sparkling water and lime juice is an incredible drink.
And my husband loves like the margarita whole thing.
Yeah, he loves
it. And that's filled with sugar. So he asked for a margarita cup with the salt all around the outside. And then he gets a shot of tequila and then the sparkling soda.
And then that gives you your water with alcohol.
The
right, because, you know, sometimes if you can drink like a glass of wine, you should be drinking 2 cups of water for every glass of wine you have because, you know, alcohol can cause dehydration. But when you're having that little shot of tequila with all that sparkling water, you know, a lot, then you're hydrating your body at the same time.
Yes, the Pearl taught him that little tip, and he enjoyed it. Just so I don't freak you guys out, I like struggle to get more than 2 centimeters.
Yeah.
A centimeter is my drink of wine. So.
Yeah,
is it tequila good for your stomach?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, they do. They say it really is.
And it puts really good bacteria in your stomach.
Yeah, and is it the lignans and the agave that mm-hmm. really help with your digestion? Yeah.
As long as it's not that snake tequila.
No, let's not do that.
That's some wild stuff. That's like the stuff that goes in like a movie.
It's probably an Egyptian remedy, I bet.
Yeah, I bet. But,
back
you know,
you,
so some homeopathic medicines have snake in them, though.
Yeah,
really?
The ones that I stay away from.
Yeah. Anyway, so we were back to this last day before we had to leave, and we were all sort of sad, and Van just like, let's make it the most incredible day. I was a little tired by that stage. I'm like, you guys go make it the most incredible day.
Stay home and work THM.
I said, I need to stay home and work THM. I was feeling guilty because usually on my trips I will, and I had just abandoned myself to the luster of life with my sisters. So they went to this island.
To get to the island, we had to, you know, like, we didn't want to go with a tour and get some like drinking catamaran with special like music, mariachi music, and go for like 7 hours to get to the island. You know, they go round and round and round and round.
The big American tour.
Yeah. No, and you pay $200. We just found our own guy for like $12, US bucks.
What,
and
he didn't do this for a living?
Skiff across the island, and it's like bam, bam, over the waves. Like we were going for it. We were like, this is more fun than the ATVs. This is wild and adventurous and wonderful.
So they were hiking around this island. I get a call. I'm at home and it's Sam, and we're 24 minutes in, so we'll get to the sort of the whole meat behind this.
Don't do too much meat.
No, I know. I'll do a little bit. But I get a call and it's Sam is like, Pearl, I need you to get a doctor. And I'm like, no. I'm like, what? He's like, it's Van. There's been an accident and she's either dislocated her shoulder or broken her shoulder. We don't know yet. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Okay. So I call, you know, a doctor and he's going to be waiting here at the resort that we're at. But Serene will tell her side of the story.
And by the way, just so you don't think I'm a weirdo and I said don't you do too much meat, it's just because Pearl and I've decided
is a two-parter.
Yeah, we've got a two-parter and we wanted to bring the meat next time. But big whoop. Yeah.
Well, anyway, the deal was, you know, I see her. It takes about an hour and a half for her to get home because remember, Serene will tell what happened, but she's on an island here.
That was very rough to get to.
Hard to get to.
Rough seas that day.
Then to get back, you know, you have to, first of all, let's just say there was a 40-minute hike back to the front of the island with the bike
to where we found her. Yes. Okay, so she was up ahead, and so I didn't actually see it happen because I suppose I was looking out at the water. She was about 40 feet ahead, but when I looked up to where she would be walking ahead of me, she was kind of just like in the surf, being washed up like a piece of seaweed,
head down.
I thought, oh, she's found some warm spot and she's going to show us how we can all like swim in this warm little hot pool. And but then I see my husband coming up to her and leaning on his both knees, like leaning down to whisper something to her, and I'm like, something's wrong. And so I yell back to Howard, Vange's husband, quick, Vange looks like she's fallen. And we run up and like literally. Sam didn't want to move her till her husband got there because her husband's kind of like we call him the hill doctor. He knows a lot about everything to do with the body. And Sam just thought, if it's that bad, I don't want to like make it worse. But she was like being tossed around in the waves. Like if she was there by herself, she would have drowned.
Yeah, she couldn't even, and she says she couldn't, she tried to lift her head up and her shoulder, but she couldn't.
I mean, Sam made sure she wasn't drowning, but he also wanted to make sure he didn't like,
she
paralyzer.
Couldn't. So what had happened was she wasn't even being dangerous at that time. Tell the truth, Vange. She had done other dangerous stuff on this trip.
We did dangerous things to get to the spot.
But on that spot, she thought what she was standing on was a rock, but it was seaweed that...
No. It was a rock.
Okay.
Yes. It was a perfectly smooth rock, black rock. And all the other rocks that were looking just like that, they were covered with this like grippy little, you know, like the stuff barnacles feel.
Yeah.
And they're like sandpaper and you kind of, your feet grip to it. But this particular one was as smooth as okra. It's like the seaweed just put this film over it. And so she thought it would be like all the other rocks. It was just a flat, perfect rock. She stood on it. Sam said she slipped so fast, she was actually fully in the air on her side. Like her feet went right under and she landed all her weight on the shoulder.
Yeah, so they could tell. I mean, it looked wrong and everything was wrong.
It was hanging off her body
But Vange, being Vange, was in shock. She didn't really know what had happened, but she could tell that she couldn't move it. They all got up and they said, well, we need to get you back, Vange. And she's like, no, let's keep hiking.
Yes.
And like she was, I'm not going to stop. And then
but the next second she's like, I'm going to throw up for the pain.
And then she realized something was bad. But that was her initial reaction. Don't you dare stop the fun. But
yeah.
So they had to hike 40 minutes back, right? About
It took us a good
with
time.
With a broken shoulder?
I mean, every movement, because what we found out in the end was that the bone, humerus bone, was totally snapped and the point was pressing into the main nerve that can paralyze her whole right side.
So shards of the bone were sticking into her muscle and there was one against the whole nerve. Now, because they thought, is it dislocated? Should we try and fix it? You know, if they'd done that, they would have cut off that nerve and her arm would have been paralyzed.
Oh, her right arm too.
So they had to hike back first and find the boat, get another boat.
And so the guy's like, no, I take this other group first. And we're like, I said, no, you got to take us. My sister is hurt. She's hurt badly. We need to get back. He was like anointed by God. I'm telling you what. He got all serious and he got a bunch of other people. He waited the boat just so. He was very particular. Por favor, over there. Por favor, like making sure. And places we all didn't want to sit, but he knew where the wait should be. And he basically, like remember I said how rough it was to get to that island?
It was even rougher on the way back. The waves were rougher.
Surfed it. We were almost capsizing. He was going on the side. He surfed every wave. And got her there so smooth. And when we got to the shore, almost to the shore where all the waves are breaking, he stopped for like 5 minutes and got his good moment and then zoomed in. He waited for a break. Wow. He was so talented. It's like from 4 years old, he was training for that moment.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was in the advantage that it was the God thing because she was in such a world of pain at that point.
Every bump was horrifying.
I don't even know how she made it. And then she had to get, because in taxis are all golf carts.
Well, we had to walk to the road.
You had to walk
from
the road.
From the beach.
And then they had to get a taxi back to the resort because, you know, there's no, we're in Mexico. We don't know how to call 911 helicopter. We don't know. They don't know what to do. They just thought there's a doctor waiting at the resort. So she somehow got back. I was sitting at the front of the resort waiting for her, and I see this person. I see my sister step out of the golf cart, you know, and her eyes are basically sunken back in her head almost, and she's just trying to walk. Howard's holding her arm. And so the doctor, you know, quickly
takes
her.
We'd all taken out, like, long-sleeve shirts and tried to wrap it and brace it, but it just didn't help.
And she, Vange is, if you know our sister, she's just the strongest, toughest woman in the world. You know, she's had 10 natural births. She's,
I mean, we don't say you should all go out and do this, but she's had breech bursts at home.
Yeah, she can do anything. She takes pain. She's like, yeah. But she, you know, the doctor said, let me see. So he just touched her arm and I was there and her whole body just started shaking and she started yelling. She's like, ah! Like it was, and he knew something was bad. He's like, okay, get in my car. So then
he's like, put this under your tongue. And her husband's like, what is it? And he's like, por favor, under tongue.
Yeah, so he made her, just didn't know what it was, just put it under her tongue.
Snake paste.
He could tell something was bad. Anyway, so he got her into it was an amazing providence of how he was a just amazing doctor that, of course, Vance became a best friend and now he wants her to come back and visit him after all this. And you know how Vance does.
Yeah.
But it was just such a God thing. He took her to this private hospital, you know, not just some public one where anyone could touch her. And we found out later, it was such a bad break that they had the best specialist in Mexico come and do her arm.
She has like a titanium plate the size of a big cell phone with like 15 screws in there. And
so they had to kind of build her shoulder back.
Did you see the picture?
I just saw stitches.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, so she had to stay. We all had to go back the next day, you know, get back to family. She had to stay a couple more days and then she came back.
And her husband, right?
Yeah.
Sweet Howard's having to... the place where the hospice private hospital was wasn't really a place where taxis were, and he had to walk from the hospital and back to where we were kind of staying and like pack up just in case he'd be kicked out of that particular resort, and where would he go, and sleeping in the corridor of the hospital, you know. So to him, he's like, my poor wife seeing her all in pain, he's like, the holiday was over, like,
yeah, of course,
when this happened.
I guess the meat is what we're trying to bring today was Vange's attitude, because I felt so bad. You know, we'd gotten them over there for this free trip, the time of their life, and she was having the time of her life. And then
they like to do everything on the cheap because they hate getting into debt.
And we were all so sad because it ended with her getting really seriously injured.
Which is like in America, it'd be like hundreds of thousands of dollars of surgery.
Yeah.
And they've never gone to the hospital.
Yeah,
because they're like, we'll just sew it up with super glue back here at our home because we don't want to spend that.
She watched it.
She'd never been on an IV, never done all of this.
Howard sewed my brother's like ear, not sewed, super glued the top of his ear
talented.
Back together.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fine. It looks great to this day.
Oh, he's brilliant.
But I want to talk about how we decide to look at things because I'm inspired by my sister Vange because, you know, that we all could have looked at that if that happened to us. It's like, my trip was so ruined. This is really awful what's happened to me. You know, she has months ahead of healing to
do now. Like, we've never been in debt and now we've got all this money. But providence happened is that Mexico payment, it's way better than American
payment.
That whole surgery, everything was $12,500.
For that?
Yes.
For everything. Hospital
and
surgeon.
The best specialist and everything.
Best orthopedic surgeon happened to be there. That guy that met her at the resort.
For a shoulder reconstructive surgery.
He was the head of that private hospital. Had worked there for like 45 years, but he'd retired and was just the doctor at the resort because he didn't want to do the big stress of the... So when he got there, he was calling everybody by name. You go here. You come here. Blah, blah, blah.
Guys, that's... I mean, I'm no doctor, but I've seen medical bills for surgeries and stuff. I mean, that feels like $100,000 project.
Oh, it is. Oh, it is. But, you know, but it was supposed to be a free trip, but it's a $12,500 trip for them. But they're just happy. But all of those things. So I kept saying, but Vange, I'm so sad it happened like this. I'm so sad for you. I feel so bad. She's like, Pearl, it's just part of the great adventure. And you think, oh, she's just saying that, right? You think someone's saying that, but no.
Not Vange.
Guess what? She's decided that in her head. So I want to read some texts
from. And can I say something too? Like as it was mentioning her husband before,
because
it was so hard to see his wife go through all of that. And so he was like, you know, for me, the holiday ended. And when she heard him say that, she got downright feisty. No, Howard, that was when the holiday really began. Yeah. This is so exciting. It was
She's
the first
got a story
time I've ever been on
Ivy. This Vange
is
great. Has got her street cred.
I know, but you can say Vange is Vange, but I saw her actually have to choose because she hates to be cooped in a hospital room. She wants the sun. Actually, she kept changing her bed all around the room. She'd have, shift my bed over there. I need to see the sun. Like, she doesn't want to be in bed. She's the most action person, but sure. I saw her have to choose.
She can't even sit, like to drive to Florida, like the first kind of beautiful beach in Florida from here is what, 7 hours away to drive there. They have to specially make a bed in the back of the car because she can't sit on a bum that long because she just feels like so cooped up. So she'd rather lay down and then get up and do special skip ropes at every petrol station, but she can't lay down. She can't sit up, sorry.
I saw her have to choose, what am I going to do here? And then she did. And she hasn't wavered from it, you know, and I think I personally want to take a leaf from a page from her book on this because this is a hard thing that happened to her and we all have junk that happens to us, right? And there's only two ways to look at them. We can acknowledge that, yes, they're hard, but we can also acknowledge that we'll get through them, that we'll heal, that this is exciting time of life still, that I'm still so blessed. There's still things, you know. So I wanted to read you a few texts just to get in. May you be inspired like I am. Serene's probably got her own texts with Vange, but these are some of mine. And they just bless me, you know. So I wanted to read them. She doesn't
turn
even know
to the
I
book
am.
Of Vange, chapter 1.
The book
one.
Of Vange. So I said the next day after she got home.
I'm going to get her to send me one to see what happens.
This morning I said, so Vange, how are you? And so she says, this is just Vange, I'm not moving a muscle. First few hours here without pain. Okay, so she's being like David. She's being real. She says, wow.
Hey, for popsies in the room, you know, David in the Psalms.
Oh, David in the Psalms, yes. You know, David was real with his emotions. Like
since Leslie's here.
You know, when things were, Psalms for Leslie. When things were bad in the Bible, David acknowledged that they were quite hard, thank you very much. But then he'd always rouse himself and encourage himself in the Lord. And Vange says, wow, I'm looking back and everything was just favor from God. From the first day to everything, to the island, to the best fishing Superman boat surf, to the best doctor, to the best everything. I can't wait to tell you from the island on out and to think, Pearl, we have stories now for your potty. Oh, man, thank you so much for the bread. Oh, I brought her some bread. And thank you forever, the best, most fun holiday ever, 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 even with my epic takeoff at the end. Howard and I still say it's the best trip ever, truly. It was the amazing spirit-led gift, and it's truly incredible.
That's because whenever we were going to breakfast or anything, we're like, oh, this is spirit-led. This is too incredible. Oh, my goodness, that was the best chef in the whole history of the universe.
So then I ask her the next day, you know, ask her how she is. She says, I'm in my jolly bed in the guest room, laugh out loud. Right now I'm looking out at the beautiful rain, and in this position my shoulder has stopped throbbing. I'm not leaving any of this out. I'm just reading, so I don't know what I'm going to read. Because it was excruciating last night and barely slept, but I'm feeling fantastic right now. But in my head and in my heart, I am beyond brilliant. Jack and Rashida came over. Many of you know Rashida, who wrote the book Trim Healthy Future for us. And Jack, her husband, is a... he's a physician. So they looked at the x-rays. It was the first time I heard that it wasn't just broken but completely snapped up top all the way through. Jack said, the nauseous lightning I felt in the journey out of the island was the main nerve that was on the break, and that the wraps around the whole body and was most probably what was recruiting me to Mars. So it all makes amazing sense now as things are all starting to come together in my brain. Ha ha. Then she goes on about the dislocation and talking to Jack, but now she said, okay, so that was that one. Sorry, I'm just skimming some here. I said to her the next day, how are you? She says, I think I'm supersonically healing fast, and that's why the throbbing is so intense. Just the way she thinks about it, right?
Yeah.
If I was throbbing, I was thinking it's because I'm so bad and so
dying.
Sick. No, she thinks that's because she's healing supersonically fast.
Right. It's what it feels like to heal.
But in all of this pain, I'm feeling fantastic, really. The throbbing just happens all over and I just say to myself that it's healing me. So I'm embracing this throbbing like a friend and it's fantastic. I mean, if you call her right now, you'd be like, how are you? And she'd be like, oh, I'm amazing. My view from this window, I never knew it was so amazing.
I know.
But it's just the spin. She spins things in her head, right? Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. You know, I'll just read a few of mine then, just so I don't feel left out. But I had sent some soup over. She goes, oh, man, Serene, thank you for my soup. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Just the thing. Yummy. Can't thank you enough. The soup warmed the very cockles of my heart. I just love thee, darling hearts. Periwinkle blossom. Thou art the frangipani fluorescence, Rosinia of Russia, and behold the daffodil of Danube. That bread. Can't thank you enough.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she could be like, well, this probably could turn into arthritis and it's pretty cold. And then what about next winter? And, you know, I hate the cold. And and then how long of a recovery? And will I ever be able to do, you know, all those, you know, she wants to go and do incredible, you know, climb up Mount Everest.
Yeah,
she was training.
Well, she was training to do the hike down the Grand Canyon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before she left.
But she's still going to. She's going to do it and she's going to. She'd be like one of those people that the legs would be chopped off and it's still ending the Olympic Games.
But no, it's funny the spin she puts on things because you know when you have something happen to you and there's always this time frame of how long of therapy do you have? How many weeks is this? Will it hurt for? And how many weeks, you know, will you be immobile? Will you be unable to use the hand? What is the time frame here? Yeah. Like I asked her about that the other day and she looked at me like, time frames? Not for me. Yes. No, I'm getting supersonically healed. Sorry. Like that's not in her ballpark, anyone putting a time frame on her healing.
No. In fact, we don't speak long recovery for her.
No.
We don't, because she wouldn't have us.
She's not allowed.
So
you're not allowed to do it.
And she spoke actually over my sons. Both were in the hospital. One was on the 8th floor in the trauma ward, who'd been in a coma of a car accident. And they said he'd be in there for years. And then my other one was in the critical ward on the 10th floor, you know, fighting cancer. And she said to me, no, I'm speaking about 3 weeks, they'll both be out.
Yeah.
And the main doctor at the time, you know, talking over my son in the car accident on the 8th floor says, no, I'm thinking probably for the rest of his life in a nursing home, but we'd say 6 months here in the trauma. She goes, no, give him 3 weeks. Well,
she said
I'll tell
it to
you
the
what,
doctor, yeah.
Yes, 3 weeks. They were both down in Florida with us on a vacation.
But you
and
know,
so
I
believe in her speaking life into it. So I believe she'll have a short recovery.
Guys, I do too.
I texted Van
while
you were talking.
Just now?
Yeah, I'm trying to get some of my own gold and wonder.
Yeah, because she
never
left
on the
out.
Phone. She's finally on the phone because she's got nothing else to do. She's in bed.
She immediately responded. I said, Van, how's your shoulder? And I was like, nah, I want more. And I put, and your spirits.
Okay.
Because I just want to hear, just see what happens. And I haven't read this yet, by the way.
Okay.
I literally just came in. I want to read it.
All right.
Insane is the pain, but rolling with glorious joy and adventure of it all. Not so, all. The, by the way, exclamation point at the end of every last sentence. Okay, there's literally not one without. Not sleeping, but who cares when you know that you are being healed? And I think I am super, super fast. That's why I can handle it. I think I'm being healed so fast that I'm now feeling everything because the arm has deflated from so much blood and guts and stuff. I am now the real bionic woman. Yes. Danny, I only get better than even before the Wild Island adventure.
Best. It makes me cry.
I am
She's
crying.
Screaming my name. Danny, I'm the bionic woman.
Yeah, she told me. She said that the other day. She's like, I said, so what do they, do you think, will you ever have full mobility? Yeah. Right, that's what I said, those words.
Good old Pearl say.
Yeah, full mobility, you know, some medical terms. Yeah, she's like, right. She's like, no, I'm going to be better than that. No, but this shoulder, no, it's bionic. For real. Better than ever.
She said, if I'm going to remain her twin, I'm going to have to power up my game.
Yeah. For real.
That's she introduces so me to everyone.
But
as her
speak,
twin.
Think of those words being spoken out into this cosmos, all right?
Yes.
Atoms are changing. Things are happening. I don't know how fast or long her road will be, but it will be a joyous road.
No, I know it's going to be quick.
Yes, and it will be a joyous road.
Yeah.
There's pain in there.
And even if it's, say it is long, just to be that, and I don't believe that at all, but say it is, she'll have a spin on that.
She'll have a spin on that.
Oh, she'll have a glorious spin
on
that.
It's all how you spin things. And, you know, we told we mentioned here how, you know, we were part of the, we had the beautiful honor of giving her a house with along with my parents. But, you know, when she lived in that tiny home that you visited, Danny, and it was all falling apart and everything, she had a big spin on that too, right? To have joy in her life, and she is truly a joyous person, she spins things in her head, but she fully believes them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And but I want to spin things in my life.
Pastor Allison's going to bring it first.
Bring it, Serene Pastor Allison.
Just so teasing. No, but I love it in Proverbs 15, chapter 15, verse 15. It says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. But isn't that so true? It's not meaning that you really are afflicted, but the one with an afflicted spirit, the one that always sees everything as an affliction, and she could have easily seen it all as an affliction.
Oh, yeah.
All those days are evil for those people, but one who has a merry heart, spin it like a continual feast.
Yeah.
Everything is a feast.
Yeah.
Well, who else gets to decide what your life is like?
Only
and
you,
what
right?
the events in your life mean and how they define you. And
yes, what they mean, Danny, what they mean. Yeah. We're writing in our I'm That Girl book, which is almost to completion. And I said that. I mentioned you, Danny.
No, I get to edit this one, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, she didn't just mention you. She plugged
your book.
No.
Plug it.
Stop.
She said,
go pick up your own copy of What If You Could.
Come on.
Yeah, I did.
Is the healing full circle? Do you feel it now?
Oh, no, this moment is a tender one.
Because I mentioned you, I shared some of your story about how, you know, your What If You Could moment, how you brought that What If You Could to us, right? Because you said, I don't know how to be a father. I never had a father live in my life. I just had a series of stepdads and boyfriends to my mom, and a lot of them weren't good, right?
Yeah.
So you didn't know how to be a father or a husband, but you said one day, what if I could?
What if I could
just act it? What if I could just, what would a real good dad act like?
And what would I do if I were a good dad?
Yeah.
I actually remember referencing movies when I would see the character known as the good dad in a film, and how he was just awesome to the woman and awesome to his wife and then awesome to his kids and just always like, yes, and you and me, and all right, I'm here, I made it, I showed up, and and it's like, daddy, and they run and he picks them up, and I act out all that stuff.
Yeah, and you did, and look at you now.
And that's
who you are. You beautiful Ainsley next to you, she thinks you're like, and you have become that dad, right? Because... And then you looked at things in your life that were hard, but you gave them a different meaning to what they were.
Assigned his whole abusive past into something great.
A completely different meaning to them. And I believe that that's what Vange did, because I could have, in my olden days, before I was free from junk in my mind, assigned a very bad meaning to me getting hurt on a vacation.
You could go to some forum and what your accent
stole
from
me.
Life.
You know, I went with my sisters. I waited all year and they'd paid for me, right? And this was the trip of a lifetime, and this is how it ended. It was so sad. Like, honestly, that's one way of associating meaning, right? But what if she just associates a complete different meaning to things? And what if you could it all the way?
You know,
healing?
Like bad things, they're so traumatic. Sometimes you just don't want to relive them.
Mm.
Well, you know, Pearl and Vange and I, we enjoyed our birth stories because they were exciting. You know, bringing life into the world, even though it was pain, it was exciting, and we loved to put our spins on them. And I just remember loving to relive each birth and talk it and tell it to anyone who would come around.
Yes,
like for the first few months after a baby. Dare you bring up any subject other than the birth and the birth story I'm about to tell you. Well, every time you go over to see Vange right now, you better sit down and know you've got 3 hours of the exciting tale she will tell you about this accident.
And there's more spin on it every time she tells it.
New spin, more spin.
The 3 hours, that's just the you said the 4 hours of her telling it, that's just to describe like 30 seconds of an event.
Yes.
She may start with breakfast. We don't know.
Yeah,
we came
over the other day, my husband and I, we walked over there and literally I thought, she's like, I want to tell you it from my side. Like, you know, because she was out of it on the accident day, like just like gripping the shoulder with just like, I've got to keep breathing till I get help. But I thought, oh, this will be great, wonderful. We'll have an hour and then go back to the children we left at home. Well, about 4 hours in, we are having to like, okay, let's plan another tale next time.
And, you know, but I think when we associate different meaning, and I think this, we can look at our past like this, like, she's looked at this whole thing. It's not so much about the hurt. Yeah, she did have an accident and a hurt, but how everything lined up for her healing. Like she's got, but Pearl God gave us that best doctor. Pearl God gave us that amazing hospital. Pearl, you know, this and that, she's a sign meaning, and I believe it was God, but she looks for the God and things.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, we can look back at our past. I was even thinking about this morning and look at the hurts, right? Or do we look at them as hurts or do we look at them now as healings?
Yeah.
It's like the scripture that says, you know, there's a time for mourning, but then you will be comforted.
Yeah.
So do
you
we?
You shall be comforted.
So am I that girl that's comforted or am I that girl that's in mourning? There's a time for mourning, but after that, no, be comforted.
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing. Like we can look at our past, right, and still carry that hurt, or since then, look at it completely differently and know that was my way out into healing.
Oh, totally.
Or that's the sci-fi moment where I got my superpower.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
You know, like you watch the movies where, I mean, you know, these films about superheroes, you know, they're archetypal characters that represent real, that's why we latch onto them. They represent something in the story of all mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, these moments of intense tragedy or intense suffering, in order for them years later to discover, like, it was the spider bite that gave Spider-Man his power, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Dr. Manhattan, you know, was, like, electrocuted by his own experiment. Like, literally every superhero story starts in some sort of horrific event and suffering, and it literally is the thing required to make them the person they
that's
are,
true.
Capable of saving the world. And, you know, while that may sound grandiose or whatever, you've got a sphere of influence.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a world around you. If only your children, you
that's
have an important,
true.
Huge part to play in a story and in the story of potentially thousands of people.
Exactly. And it's so true. And I'm just thinking about what she's teaching her children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coming away from that tragedy with so much fireworks of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Her children are just, that's better than years of schooling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Better than years
that
of schooling.
That one event.
And I'm just thinking of just, you know, just take the butterfly, the Trim Healthy Mama butterfly with the Mormon praising.
Our emblem for new peeps in the room. If you've never seen it, you know, we have that logo of the butterfly. If you go have a closer look, it's not a butterfly. It's a woman and she's got her arms up and she's about
but
to fly.
Before that flight and the wings and the glorious ascension into the feeling of the wind beneath your wings and you're soaring. Before that is the cocoon. You don't get the butterfly without the cocoon. And, you know, I'm sure you all know it, is if you help a butterfly out of that cocoon, it will never fly. It has to go through that struggle. It has to go through that feeling almost suffocated and pushing against the cocoon, and that push and that fight to get free is what causes the strength and the wings.
So true. We're at 51 minutes.
Awesome.
We shall say adieu. I think you got a little more meat to bring about this very subject
next
week.
Oh, and
you
too, and Dan will have it too. Yeah.
Next week.
Trim Healthy Mama, product news and notes.
Hey, Serene, you know, since we've started this Trim Healthy Mama brand, we've only been bringing products to people just because we use them in our own life and get so excited. We're like, oh, our mamas will want, right? So it's funny though, because I think things come out and we forget about them and our audience forgets about them. They get buried.
Yeah.
Well, I think that happened to our sponge. Our sponge, you know what I'm talking
about. Yeah, the sponge. Right?
It's that it's made from the cognac root, which is like our glucomannan, but it's a beautiful exfoliator for the skin.
That's not harsh, which is incredible because most exfoliators actually agitate the skin, which ages the skin.
Yeah. No, if you do that, what do you – these things you can buy, they're little machines and they exfoliate. I tried that once. My skin was never the same after that.
Yeah.
It takes up the top layer. It takes off all your oils. You don't want to do that. But the sponge is an amazing natural exfoliator, so it does it so gently. So anyway –
you know the natural, almost smooth jelly feeling of Gluki?
Yes.
The top of the cognac sponge gets that same smooth, glidey feel.
But what happened was, Serene, I, like most people, had forgotten all about it. Like, I used it when it first came out the first year. I was quite religious about it. And then I lost my sponge. I never got another one.
Yeah. It was That's where I am right now.
Yeah, okay. Well, let me tell you.
I haven't used one for
like
8 months.
You're going to go back to it because Autumn did my makeup when I turned 50 about 3 weeks ago.
You.
And she wanted to do a whole little makeover on me.
Aww.
And she was touching my skin and she's like, Mom, your skin's a little dry right now. And I'm like, yeah, I know, it's winter. My skin always gets more dry in winter. Mm. And she's like, oh, okay, maybe you should use something, you know. And I thought, and I could feel it. There were little dry bumps,
yeah,
you know, just because it was winter. And I thought, that's okay.
Yeah.
So, and I said, Charlie, I called him, can you get that sponge for me? Because I remember it just smoothing my face out. So he brought it home. That night, what you do is you wet the sponge so it hydrates, mm-hmm, fills with water, and then I put just a little of the orange cream, our hydrating orange cream on. And for about 3 minutes, I just went small circles all over
my face. Lightly, yeah. You just lightly. You don't just, like, you don't get in there with
don't
pressure.
Scrub, but I was a little pressurized. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I feel like I've been to a
skin
spa
looks glorious.
Screen. And I got Autumn to feel it. All the bumps are gone.
Wow.
It was the most glorious, luxurious, moisturizing feeling I've ever had.
And the pH wasn't stripped.
No.
Because, you know, the cognac has a perfect pH. And also you didn't like disturb it.
And before I was putting on it, like, I love our Orange Silk moisturizing cream. That's the one I use. I haven't been without it in over 10 years. I've used it. And because I've always had very dry skin. It changed my life, my world, and I've used it ever since. But before I used the sponge, because it was winter, I kept having to apply it multiple times a day.
Right.
And I felt like my skin was just still a little dry, even though it's the most moisturizing thing. Since I've using the sponge, my skin now retains the moisture.
Wow.
So they're a perfect pair.
It like opened up the cells to be thirsty little, I don't know, cups,
well,
and they're absorbing
it is,
the
but
moisture.
I'm just reminding you guys, don't forget about that little gem. It's going to change your life. So I thought to myself last night, I have, like, you know, as you get older, I don't know, you get the scaly skin on your feet and your ankles. You probably don't even have it, Serena, you're a little young.
No, in summer when I walk a lot with sandals, the heels will get cracked.
The heels,
of the dust
and then
of
my
roots.
Ankles got a little scaly, almost like snake skin. I'm like, what's this about? So I got the sponge and I thought.
Are you a snake's wife?
I'm going to have a sponge for my legs now too.
Yes.
I did it in the shower and they're so much better.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. I need to do that. I'm going to tell my husband to bring me one.
And it's all natural and you don't have to plug it in. And it's just a beautiful enhancement. Guys, you got to try it. Get that little gem. It's a sponge. It shouldn't be lost. It
and
should be found.
And say it right. It's not a sponge. It's a sponge.
I say sponge. For this and other amazing products, go to www.trimhealthymama.com. Click on store. Go to the search engine and type in your favorite product.
Until then, our good people.
See ya. Trim Healthy Mama.